So yeah, we went through the grammar lesson 5 last time, so now the exercise is there. Page 33 here. So translate into English. You have the first sentence there. You have Renu Rajaputo Rajanan Disampating Edarahorsa. So this is actually a small passage here, which is quite nice. Instead of just reading random sentences, you actually have a tiny passage with a certain meaning. So again, as usual, you actually find the verb at the end, and the verb here is avocha. So avocha is, as you see that on the previous page, 32, you see that this is actually the declension, this is an aorist of the verb vaj, what did you say? So it's aorist, it's past tense, right? So avocha is the is either the third person or second person singular, so it means either he said, she said, it said, or it can mean you said. And to find out which one it is, you have to look for the agent. And the agent is always going to be in the nominative case. What is in the nominative case here? Rajaputo is in the nominative case. So Rajaputo is the agent. Rajaputo means prince. Literally means son of a king. That's why it means prince. And Renu, that is it's a proper noun. But actually that too is here in the nominative case. You can't tell that yet because you haven't seen any nouns in you, but actually there's a nominative case as well. So that actually agrees with Rajaputo. So it's Renu who is the prince. You know, this is adjective and noun, or the prince, who is Renu, or does it be Renu the prince? And he is the speaker, so he said. And the verb said is one of these verbs which has two patients, because you say something to someone, and each one of those, the something that you say and the someone you say it to, are both patients of the verb. And again, patients are always going to be in the accusative. So obviously the first thing then you ask yourself is there anybody in the accusative here? And there is Rajana, which is the king, Disampating, presumably agreeing with that. So the king Disampati is the person being spoken to in the accusative. So Renu, Prince Renu, said to King Disampati. And then you have the etad, and etad is a pronoun, and it basically just means this. You went through that on the previous page. It means this, and it can be either nominative or accusative. But in this case, it is quite clearly an accusative. The Prince Renu said this to King Disampati. Happy with that?
Yeah. Next. With the etang and etad, it's just, it could be either one of them.
Yeah, it depends on the. Usually, the reason why you have one or the other is because of the next word which follows after. It depends on the word which follows after, whether you have etang or etad. Because it. Remember, this is a spoken language, right? Yeah. So it's the flow of the word which matches. Yeah. So how the flow goes. So etad avocha is easier to say than etang avocha. So that's etad avocha. It's close and easy. That's usually the rules for how these things are chosen. So it doesn't have any grammatical meaning. Mako tvan deva paridevesi. So here you have this construction with ma and the verb at the end, paridevesi. The verb is always again at the end here. Paridevesi means to grieve. And the ma is always goes together with a verb. And usually it goes together with a verb in the aorist. So paridevesi here is the aorist. It means, and the conglomeration ma paridevesi, aorist plus ma, means don't grieve. It loses its sense of being an aorist, and it just means don't grieve. It's like a wish or a injunction or whatever you want to call it to the person. Please don't grieve. And you can see here that you have the tvang there, which is the agent. So basically, you don't grieve. And then you have deva, which is a vocative case here. Deva is a vocative. It's the last thing we just seen on the previous page. It means like, oh, king, or your majesty, or sir, or something like that, or sire, maybe. So, sir, please don't grieve. You wouldn't use the you in English because it doesn't sound right, but the entirely the you is there. So, you sir, please don't grieve, or sir, don't grieve.
The crow just makes it stronger.
Core is more like a filler word. It doesn't really make add very much at all. It's hardly has any meaning whatsoever.
You say O King, is that the equivalent to what you were saying, Sir?
King? It's just different ways of saying it. Sir or King, Your Majesty. Lord, Supreme, Ruler of the Universe. Okay, Ati Deva Jyotipalo Nama Manava Putto Ti. I don't know why he has a T there, because I haven't spoken about T's yet at the end of the sentence, but that just means end quote, the T and the end there. So Ati Deva, so here now you're looking for the verb, and this time the verb is at the beginning, which makes it a bit more tricky. Sometimes you find the verb at the beginning of the sentence. Ati is at this time the verb. And Ati is one of those verbs that regularly occur at the beginning, because it's like an emphatic statement or something. So Ati means something like there is. And so what there is here, and the rest is what the rest of the sentence here. And you see, there's all nominatives, because you have the verb to be. There's no accusative, there's no patient of that verb. There's just something is something else, like what they call an equational sentence. A is B. So Jyotipalo Manavo Putto is all in nominative. So Jyotipalo Manavo, like the young priest or the Brahmin student, if you like it. And Putto, the son. So there is O King Deva, there is O King, there is Your Majesty here. This young Brahmin, the son who is a young Brahmin called Jyotipala. Nama is just called, right? Called Jyotipala.
When you get the young.
Sorry?
When you get the young.
Young priest. Yeah, it's young Brahmin. It's a son of a Brahmin, basically. So there is the young priest who is a son, or the son who is a young priest, called Jyotipala. I guess he's saying here, don't grieve because there are alternatives. The other one has died, now let's go move on to the next one. Something like that. Okay, then he goes on. Attako Raja Disampati Purisan Amantesi. So here you have Amantesi again at the end of the sentence, you find the verb. And he addressed, it's an aorist, Amantesi. And again you ask for the agent. The agent is Raja Disampati in the nominative. So King Disampati addressed. And what he addressed is the accusative Purisan, the man. So King Disampati addressed the man. And Attako means something like then. Then. King Disampati addressed a man, or the man, depending on the context. Okay, moving on to the individual sentences. Ahan imme damme desesen. Verb again at the end, desesen means I taught, is an aorist. I taught, and again, you look for the agent, and you find that ahan is the nominative here. And that just reinforces the ending of the verb. The ending of the verb already says it's I, and then the ahang pronoun reinforces that, so it just says it again, it says exactly the same thing. Whether that pronoun is there or not doesn't matter. And what he taught was ime dame, these doctrines, these teachings. And here ime is a pronoun which qualifies dame. And both of these are accusative, they're accusative plurals. So it qualifies just like a noun, just like an adjective. These dhammas, these two doctrines, these teachings. So I taught these teachings, these doctrines. Yo? Happy?
It's not just the dhammas, it's these.
These, yeah. It's quite literally these dhammas. We can, sometimes these pronouns can be equivalent to the definitive article, definite article in English. They can be sometimes. But you have to know from the context. But if there's no context, you usually assume it means these or those or something like that.
But because we have kind of three different versions of if we construct a sentence to put those first pronouns in, and basically all the three mean kind of the same thing.
They don't mean exactly the same thing. Remember that these pronouns are, some of them are pronouns of absence, some are pronouns of presence. So if you want to say those, something that is not present to the hearer, you use a different pronoun. Because in these, something that is present to the hearer, you use a different pronoun. So they're not exactly the same.
So those are on the second page, like on Sergi, are the ones that go about here and there?
No, they're all about here. Pranas of presence.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the first one's on 28, that are the absent ones?
Not all the ones on page 28, because page 28 also has the first and singular, the first and second person pronouns, and they are used universally here. There's no difference between them here. It's only when it comes to the third person pronouns that there is that clear distinction between presence and absence.
Okay.
So when you talk about things usually here, not about yeah, or about yeah, he or she, you cannot really talk about I and you. It's always going to be presence, isn't it, usually. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. So, next sentence here. Raja Katyo Tankurisan Etadavocha. Again, avocha is the verb. He is either second person or first person, second person or third person, aorist. Either he said or you said. And the agent here must be Raja Katyo, because that is the. Haven't you got a book for yourself? Is it back in Kuti?
Yeah,
come back?
Like
okay, just come back. Okay, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Raja Katyo is the agent, because that is the nominative here, and it's nominative singular. So the king, who is a Katya, the king is the main noun, and Katya becomes an adjective that qualifies that noun. So the king, who is a Katya, said, and he said to Tankurisa, that man. Again, you can see the pronoun tang there agrees with purisang, they're both accusative, so tang purisang. Usually the pronoun which agrees with something comes before the noun it agrees with.
So is that common agenda that they always directly say the caste?
Not really. It's just katio is yes, sometimes they do. Yeah.
Because you also had it in the earlier sentence we had with the young Brahman. You know, it's stated that he's a young Brahman.
Young Brahman, yeah.
The Manova.
It depends on the circumstance whether it's stated or not. Sometimes it just talks about the man, you know.
In the introduction, like, do they start out by introducing, this is a young Brahman priest and this is a Katya prince?
Not always, no.
Okay.
But sometimes they do, because if it's a Katya king, it's just to clarify that he's a proper king. It's a real deal, so to speak. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not some kind of dodgy thing.
Yeah.
What are you wondering about, Nicholas?
We were wondering about the tongue. You would not translate it for him or her.
Because it qualifies purisang, it has to be that man. Yeah. So you have to understand. You have to. If it is, it means him or her. It uses stand by itself, just as tongue. It doesn't stand for something else.
Yeah.
Now here you have two, both in the accusative. Yeah. So they form like a cluster, which refers to the same thing. Yeah. Tang Purisa.
And then it becomes a that.
Yeah, that man. That man or this man. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But if it stands by itself, then it's what it says on page 26.
Yeah. Yeah. If it stands by itself, it can be he. But then it can also be that if it's not by itself. It can be he said that. Just like you have here, a type stands by itself just afterwards.
Mm.
Yeah. So it depends. But if it stands together with a noun like that, so it is referring to the same thing. Yeah. If you have like a pronoun together with a noun like that together, it usually means that they're referring to the same thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then it is a demonstrative thing, this, that, pointing it out to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So the king who's a Katya said to that man, and Etan, he said this to that man, right? Yeah. Ma sammanam upasankami.
Is it called a bitransitive verb then?
That is another bitransitive verb,
yeah.
Because it has two patients precisely. So it, he says to the man and he says this. So the two things. Yeah. Ma samanam upasankami. So here again you have the ma and the upasankami. So upasankami is the aorist, so it means to approach. And together with ma, it has this again this idiomatic meaning of don't approach. And you lose the reference. You don't have any. It doesn't have any aorist or past meaning anymore. It just means don't approach. And you look for an agent. You look for that in vain because there's no agent apart from what is in there. So presumably you have to assume it's a he. So it's just not sorry, upasankhani, probably you, because you're speaking to somebody, don't approach. And what you're not supposed to approach should be in the accusative. So that's samanaga. Don't approach the ascetic or the recluse or the sometimes called philosopher, sometimes called the monk, or whatever you like, basically. Recluse. Don't approach that recluse, approach this one. Kind of sort of thing you find in the sutta sometimes. Ahang purohito brahmano ahosing. So here we have the verb ahosing, which is the aorist of the verb hoti, is the verb to be, and it means I was. Right? So I was. And again, because it is the verb to be, you can expect that there is no patient in the sentence. It's all going to be nominatives, which are joined together using this verb to be. It's an equational sentence again. So I was, so it's something I was. It's something which declares something about me. I equals something. Equational sentence. I hope you understand what I'm talking about here. So I was, and all of these ones you will see are indeed nominatives. Ahang is nominative. I, Purohito, like priest, is nominative. Brahmano, Brahmin, is nominative. So basically saying something like, I was a Brahmin who was the priest, or I was the priest who was a Brahmin, or I the Brahmin was a priest, or any kind of combination like that.
And the Purohito
is the Prime Minister, wasn't he? Okay, Prime Minister, priest, yeah.
If it would be Aho-ti,
then it couldn't be Ahang. Because Ahang is I, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So if you take away the Ahang and it was Ahosi instead, then it would mean the Prime Minister was a priest.
Ahosi,
I'm the aorist. It's the aorist,
yep. Yeah.
You could also say, I guess, is this correct? I have been instead of was.
I have been.
It says that you can also use it for.
It could mean that. I have been. Yeah.
Or is that really?
I have been. You would have to know from the context what it was referring to, really.
But it's possible.
It's possible. Okay. I don't think that's actually correct in this context, but it actually is possible theoretically. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. Okay. Next one. Aham asmi Brahma isaroha. So again, here this is difficult because here the verb is found as a second word, just to make life difficult. So asmi is the verb, right? Make sense? Make sense?
Yeah.
Asmi is the verb. Yeah. So if you speak while I talk, I assume that you have a question, so I tend to stop. Ahang asmi. So asmi means I am. This is the verb to be again. So it's I am. And again, because it is a verb to be, it is like an equational sentence, right? So it's am. I am something. It says something about me. It's like an adjective and noun. So you have ahang, I, and then which is the nominative, Brahma is nominative, Isaro is nominative. So you have, I am Brahma, the Lord, the Isaro, the Lord, the God. Idam avocha bhagava, avocha again is another aorist. And again, you find the noun, or the verb rather, in the middle here, makes it difficult. But it means said. And he said is this one here, because it's the third person singular past tense. And who said that? The Bhagava said that. Here, the agent is at the end, you can see. Idama Vosha Bhagava. So it is very tricky from an English speaking point of view, where the agent actually comes last. But the point in the Pali is that there is no, the word order is irrelevant. It's just actually the grammatical endings which matter as to what the function is in the sentence. So the function is still Bhagava is agent because it's nominative, not because it is, the fact that it's last is irrelevant. So Bhagava said. And what he said is this, idang. Idang here is the accusative tense. Could have been nominative, but it doesn't make any sense that it is nominative. It makes better sense that it is accusative. It is what is being said. Idang avocha. This said the Blessed One. If idang was a nominative, then it would relate to Bhagava, right? It would mean this blessed one. If that was the case, they would stand together. It would be Avocha Idan Bhagava.
They never separate. They don't separate.
Sometimes they do, but usually they would be together as a cluster. No?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, this can also mean this is the fortune of one's head.
No. Well, that's the same thing, yeah. That's a matter of the same thing, yeah. Yeah. The blessed one said this, this is the fortunate one said, yeah. Yeah. This said the blessed one. Te Rajaputan Avochong. So Avochong here again is the aorist. This time it's a third person plural, says they said. And you ask for an agent here, and a possible agent is te, because te is a plural. So te is very likely to be the agent here of Avocha. So it means they said. And then you have the Rajaputan, which is the accusative. So he is the one being spoken to. So they said to the prince. They said to the son of the king, the prince. Ma sandam akatta. Now, akatta is the aorist of the verb karoti. We haven't actually done this verb yet, but it's I think it has been it was mentioned under the aorist, I think, in the previous chapter. Yeah. So here again you have the ma and the aorist. So two.
Yeah, it is on 25.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. So you have the ma plus the aorist, so it means don't do, basically. Don't do, don't make, don't act. That's what it means. So. And it's speaking the second person plural. So you're speaking to a group of people. You guys, don't do this. And what they're not supposed to do is saddam. Saddam is here in the accusative. So you guys, don't make a sound. Don't do a sound. Don't make a sound in idiomatic English. So akatta is the word to make, to do, to perform, etc. Don't make a sound. So nirodan pusati. Pusati means to touch. But it also has the idiomatic meaning to experience or to attain. And here, actually, more correctly, it means to attain. So here it is the present tense now, we're back into the present tense again, pusati, present tense ending, he attains, he touches, third person singular, and the so there agrees with that one, the so is just, in this case, just he, right, he attains, he touches, so can also mean that, but that touches doesn't really make any sense, and certainly in the context it's very clear that it means he. Remember that this so, this particular pronoun can mean either he, or it can mean that, depending on the context, depending on the circumstance. It can mean either he or that.
But it doesn't actually need to be there, does it?
It doesn't need to be there, precisely. Yeah. Yeah. But it is nonetheless.
It's just for the exercise.
No, in this case it might very well have been there. Because it might refer back to somebody spoken about in the text before. So it refers back to somebody somebody's talked about, and then it says, he attains this thing here. So it may be more to emphasize the person there. It does. Precisely. Yeah. And what he touches is Nirodhan, which is the accusative, so that's cessation. He touches cessation, he attains cessation. He experiences cessation. Samana Amha, Amha. Amha is back to the present tense again. We are, the verb to be. So it would be an equational sentence. You can only expect nominatives there, verb to be. So samana, and you would expect it to be plural because the verb is plural. The nominatives will also be plural there. So samana, for that reason, is plural, to agree with we, right? We is plural, so samana must be plural. So we are samanas. We are monks. We are ascetics. We are those who come forth. Natang deva vanchemi. Vanchemi is to deceive, and this is now again back to the present tense still. I deceive, and because the na is there, the na at the beginning means that the whole sentence is negated. So basically, you can translate the sentence first, and you can put the na in front afterwards if you like. So I deceive, and what I deceive is tongue. Tongue is the accusative here. So I deceive you. And Deva is the king. O king, sir. Sir, I deceive you. And then you negate the whole thing. King, I don't deceive you. O king, I don't deceive you. The whole sentence is negated. King, I don't deceive you. Negating the whole sentence usually is equivalent to negating the verb really. Yeah. I'm not deceiving you, Gregory. I don't deceive you, Gregory. Yeah. Yeah. Eso Maharaja Bhagava. So this is the sentence without the verb, any verb. So the verb to be has to be added. So it is an equational sentence. You're adding the verb to be. And when you add the verb to be, remember that what you're adding is always the present tense, right? You don't add the past or anything, it's always the present tense. You're saying, this is that. So these words in here are then being equated. So you have Eso Maharaja Bhagava. Maharaja is evocative, this means like, oh great king, or again, your majesty or something like that. And then the two words which are equated must be Eso and Bhagava, because they are both nominatives. So this is the blessed one, O king, or great king, this is the blessed one, something like that. This great king is the blessed one.
Does it mean this great king is the blessed
one? I can't mean that, because Maharaja is a vocative case. So if you look at the Maharaja, it has the A, the short A on the end. So that's the person you're speaking to, right? It's the vocative case.
That
is possible as well, yeah. Yep, sure, that is correct. You're quite right. Yep. Maihang Bhagavantam Upasamkaminha. So the verb here is Upasamkaminha. It's the aorist, and it means we, in the first person plural, we approached. Right? We approached, aorist. And you ask for the agent, and Maihang is the agent here. It's the nominative plural, we approached. It just reinforces the ending of the verb. And then you have Bhagavantang, the accusative. That's what is being approached here. We approach the Blessed One. That comes from a very easy sentence. Ati kayo. Verb is ati, there is. And what there is going to be in the nominative, because this is an equation sentence. There is the body. Or there is a body. Or there is a group. Remember that body in Pali has meaning much more than just physical body. It means like a group or a conglomeration or a collection of something here. So there is the collection, there is a collection, there is a group, there is a body. Just like body in English can have the same meaning, but in Pali that meaning is even more pronounced than in English.
Do they say, of teachings, like body, like a group of teachings?
That would be aggregate, a khanda, if it was that sort of body, yeah. Usually. So the khanda also has a similar kind of meaning as kayo, huh?
Kayo is just like corpus in Latin.
Corpus, yeah, right, yeah. And corpus can mean, exactly, it can also mean like
exactly.
Body. And
corpus selecti.
Right, yeah.
Body.
Yeah. Yeah. Upeti pi apeti pi. So, these two verbs means to come and to go away, I think. Apeti means to go away. Upeti, I must admit that these are not very common words, so I'm a bit unsure about these ones, but upeti, I think it means to come and to go, basically, these two verbs. Yeah. So it is the third person singular, he comes, and he goes. P means like also and to. Basically, P is, in my opinion, the word which more than anything else means and in the Pali. So he comes, and he goes. He comes and goes, basically. Or it comes and goes. It could be it here as well. You just don't know what it is. It comes and goes. Yeah. And that comes an interesting sentence, a very short one. Evan etan brahmana. So again, there is no verb here. So the verb is the verb to be. So you add the verb hoti in there. And so the verb hoti, it is, right? And then you have the this, which would then have to be in the nominative, because that is, again, it's an equational sentence. So basically, this is what it's saying here, or it is this. And then you are speaking to the Brahmana, who is an evocative, so you say, Brahmin, this is, and then you have the evan, which is just in the clinal meaning thus. So, this Brahmin, this is thus, or Brahmin, thus it is, which is probably the most likely idiomatic meaning in English. Brahmin, thus it is Brahmin. Evang etang, thus this Brahmin, thus this is Brahmin.
This is so it is.
So it is Brahmin, sure, yeah. So is another way of saying Evang, yeah. So it is Brahmin. Okay. Do you want to continue with translating into Pali to English?
Could I back up? You couldn't. Yeah. For some reason, I wrote down "Thus him, O priest." I don't know why. It's so long ago since I did it. But you would never say that. It has to be.
It could be. It could be.
Like if you were referring to a previous sentence, and they said, "Is it such and such?" You could say "Avam."
But it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be him. It wouldn't be him because it's not an him is accusative in English, right?
Oh, does he?
Does he is?
Yeah. The clock is ticking down.
I will see what people think. Should we? Are people interested? Have you done the translation from English into Pali?
Do
you
want to go to that?
Yeah, can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sure. This king is a human being. I too am a human being. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. This king is a human being. The good thing here, because there's a comma there, you can assume that you can translate half the sentence at a time. To start off with, this king is a human being. It's an equational sentence. So the verb to be is required. The verb is becomes hoti, right? So it's two things that are being equated. The two things are this king and a human being that are equated using the verb to be. So they both have to be in the nominative. That's kind of the rule of the verb to be. So this king would be something like Eso Raja or Etang. No, let's have a look at the tables here. Look, I tell you. Ayang, yeah? Ayang. Ayang Raja, for example, yeah?
Doesn't need a hoti,
quite right, yeah? So it can be Ayang Rajo Manuso Hoti is one translation, or you can leave the hoti out if you like. Mm-hmm. And then you have I too am a human being. So again, it's an equational sentence using the verb to be. So am is homi, I am, homi. You can say aham homi, and then the manuso human being. Aham manuso homi. Yeah. Is how you would say that. And then the two is the P, right?
It comes earlier.
And the P is what they call an enclitic. An enclitic is always usually the second word in a sentence.
Uh-huh.
So if you have ahang manuso homi, it becomes ahang P manuso homi. And this king is a human being, the king is ayang raja manuso hoti, becomes ayang P Raja Manuso Homi. And you have to add P in both parts of the sentence. Because that's the first part and the second one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how the Pali works. So you have always in both parts.
Like the cha.
Like the cha, exactly. And the va and many other things. Yeah. Yeah.
So, sorry, you have to say ASOP, is it?
ASOP?
Raja
Manuso Hoti.
You can skip the Hoti, right?
Yeah.
ASOP Raja Manuso, aham pi manuso homi.
Yeah.
Just around.
Well, in that case, you should have the verb because it's the first person. Usually, it's only the third person when the verb is missing. Yeah.
So you need homi.
Aham, or maybe you don't. Actually, maybe you don't.
But
I could be telling you. Yeah.
In this kind of sentence, it seems that you know saying. I am too, so it's kind of
emphasis, you might use it.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
But you have to use the ecclesiastics in both.
Yeah.
Both clauses.
In both clauses, it's a second word. Yeah. In both clauses, it's a second word, the P. Yeah.
You have to use it twice.
Twice. Yeah. Each clause, everything you bind together has a P after it. So all the elements you're binding together has a P after it, or a cha after it, or a va after it, depending on what you're saying. Yeah.
But again, they drop a lot of these eclipses again if it's being so repetitive, because that's
the cha is dropped very often, the P is not dropped very often. Yeah. The cha is the one that's dropped most of the time.
Because I say when you have multiple cha cha chas, they drop it.
They will often do it, it's quite right.
All right, but P not.
P very rarely, va very rarely, yeah.
Okay. Can we do
that? Then
Mahagovinda the priest.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Then Mahagovinda the priest towards those noble ones approached that way. Now this is one of those sentences. You see the clumsy English translation here means that what we're dealing with here is the yena tena upasamkamati construction. It's a giveaway for that towards approach that way. So the towards here is the yena. Approached is the word upasamkamati, which has to be in the aorist because it's past tense, and it has to be plural because it's those nobles, plural third person. So it's upasamkamingsu, isn't it? Upasamkamingsu is the verb.
Kamami, no?
If it's one person approaching another person, isn't it?
Oh, you're right. It's the Bhagavinda approaching. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Upasamkami. Yeah, you're quite right. Upasamkami is the right one because it's a third person singular, not the third person, not the plural.
But it's
still aorist. So upasamkami. No, upasamkami. Upasamkami.
Yeah. Plural aorist.
Third person singular. Upasamkami. Upasamkami. Yeah. It should be there on the page.
24.
Yeah. Page 24, yeah, upasamkami, yeah.
I mixed it up with the
first
person,
second person. The second person is exactly the same as the first person. Yeah. Upasamkami. Yeah. So, upasamkami, and the agent here is Mahagovinda the priest. This is two words agreeing with each other. It's like one cluster of words. Pointing to the same thing. So it's like the priest, the Brahmano, and Mahagovindo would be in exactly the same case. They're both nominatives. Mahagovindo, Brahmano, Upasamkami. And then you have this construction with yena tena. Remember that in the Pali, when you have the verb Upasamkamati, you often have the yena tena construction. And that which is being approached comes after the yena. So you have yena towards those nobles, and those nobles are what is being approached here. So that becomes like te katya. And what you have to remember here, this is the tricky part, is that when you have the yena construction, it's all in the nominative case. So those nobles will actually always be in the nominative because of the yena. The yena, it says, I think, in the in sort of European grammars that it forces the following thing to be in the nominative, basically. So that's why those nobles, even though it looks like it is a patient, because we are approaching the nobles, it looks like it's a patient, but because the yena guides those words, it actually still is the nominative. It's one of the very few cases where that happens in the Pali. So all you need to remember is for this particular case. Everywhere else, it's always accusative. So you have Mahagovindo Brahmano Yena Te Katya, and then you have Tena Upasamkami, that way approached. So everything is nominative, even though it looks like you should have something should be in the accusative here.
Atako
in the beginning, yeah. Atako is then, yeah. Atako Mahagovindo Brahmano Yena Te Katya Tena Upasamkami. It's quite complex. Quite complex, that one. Katribi Katya, I think.
Katya.
Te Katya. Shall we move on to the lesson? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this is still, this lesson here is fairly easy, fortunately. It's nothing too advanced in here. So it starts off with the imperative case. And this is imperative case, it's like in English you say, go, work. You are basically commanding somebody. It's the case of command. That's how it is used most in English. And this particular case, not case, the tense of command, and this tense is also found in Pali, and it has specific endings. That's how we recognize that the imperative is being used. And those endings are found in that table, the bottom of page 34. And when you see these endings, you know that it's usually about a command, particularly in the second person. Because when you command somebody, the command usually happens in the second person, right? You're saying, you're speaking to somebody, so you're saying, like, you work. Essentially, you don't need to say the you in English, but that's implied. You work, you do, you drive, whatever you have. So there's command there. And you see that the way you command somebody, for example, the word bhavati becomes simply bhava in the second person. So be, you know, be like this. Or bhavata. Bhavata is actually the same as the present tense, so you cannot actually distinguish. You have to use context to distinguish whether it's imperative or present tense. But bhava, the singular, is always different. And it says down here that sometimes you have the he added, so sometimes the second person can be bhavahi rather than just bhava. It's either bhava or bhavahi. In the third person, you cannot command anybody in the third person, so in the third person it means something else. It has a slightly different meaning, and it comes up on the next page here. So bhavatu and bhavantu are third person imperatives. So it's something like let him be, or let it be, or something like that, and let them be here, is what the meaning is here. And in the first person, the imperative again is exactly the same as the present tense, but it's very rarely found in the first person. So in first person it would mean something like we must be, or something like that. So that is the imperative, and you see on top of page 35, you find some of those he endings for the second person plural. So it's like, you know, you have vadehi, say, speak, kohi, be, jivahi, live, etc.
What does
it mean, the same thing, be.
Yes.
Yeah, be.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Yeah. Yes. Same thing as kohi. Yeah.
Yes.
Be. Yeah. Okay, and then you have said that the third person singular of the imperative of the verb hoti is hotu, which you would expect because it's exactly the same as the others on the other page here. Hoti becomes hotu, just like bhavati becomes bhavatu. And then you have attu, this is also from the verb atti, again the verb to be. It may it be, it shall be. So this is all the kind of different ways you would translate this. This is the third person now. So it's not really a command anymore because it's a third person. Then he explains how it is used. Imperative expresses commands and prohibition, but also invitations and wishes. And it's a second person that it actually means a command, just like I was saying now, you do this, you do that. Whereas a third person is more like polite invitations, or invitations or wishes. That's where you find that. And it says here, sometimes together with the name and the title of the person. And the imperative often stands at the beginning of a sentence, which is interesting. This is one of the cases where you have the verb at the beginning here. And you have the verb ta down there, which is actually, it looks like tittati, the way this verb looks in the present tense. And you would say to somebody, eta titta actually has the idiomatic meaning of stay here, remain here. Because the word tittati means to stand, really. And but when you say eta titta, eta means here, titta is imperative. So it means like, stand here, wait here, remain here, don't go. And it also has the idiomatic meaning of let it be, never mind, don't bother, don't trouble, etc. That's an idiomatic meaning of that verb, which one needs to keep in mind, although it doesn't occur that often. I think it's mostly in the Digha Nikaya that occurs. So that is the imperative tense, and again, the thing which is important to remember here is very simple. The most important thing to remember here is that the second person imperative is you take away the ti ending of the present tense. So instead of bhavati and all this others, you just have bhava. And then you know it's a command. It's a set you're saying to somebody, do this, do that. That is really the only thing you need to remember from this page. Because that is the thing which occurs all the time. All the other stuff is much more, it's very quite rare, it doesn't occur very often. So if you come across that, and this is what I think is one of the great things about this book, is that basically it's a reference work. So if there's something you don't understand, there's an ending which is weird or whatever, you can look it up and you can find out what it means. It's not about remembering every single little thing in here, because that becomes impossible. So again, I will point out what is important to remember, and here it is a second person singular, bhava, which is important to remember. Take away the ti, and when you just have a bare verb like that, then you know that it is imperative and it expresses a command. That's really all you need to know. Then we have a respectful address, and this is the stem bhavant. The stem bhavant is actually a present participle of the verb bhu, which is the bhavati verb. But the Brahmins use this as a respectful pronoun. It means something like sir, your honor, or something like that. So when the Brahmins speak, they always use the bhavang in front of that as a respectful term. So the Brahmins come to the Buddha, they call him bhavang, gotamang, or bo gotamo, if it's in nominative. So that is how the Brahmins speak. That's how you know it's the Brahmin who's speaking, because the bhavang is always found in there. Then we come to an important aspect of Pali, and this is about the quotations. You don't have quotation markers in Pali, but you have the T instead there. And the T marks that something is a quotation. It can be tricky because the T only occurs at the end of a quote, only after something has been said. So you don't actually know where the quote begins. So that always has to be judged from the context where the quote begins. But you know at least where it ends. That is important. So it is used for any passage of direct speech. So just like in English, you use quotation markers for direct speech. It's exactly the same thing here. But very importantly, it's also used for anything which is thought. So if somebody thinks something, or even if they just perceive something, you know, for example, you have the perception of, in the very deep meditations, you have the perception of infinite consciousness, and that perception will be in quotation marks. You perceive infinite consciousness in quotation marks, right? And then it's like you know infinite consciousness. You are aware of infinite consciousness. You perceive infinite consciousness.
Quotation.
Yeah. Quotation. Yeah. It doesn't actually say that you perceive it, but the T, which is the quotes, means that it is a perception. So you add the verb. In English you would say, he perceives infinite consciousness.
So-called infinite consciousness.
Not really so-called. It's just the idea of the quotation marks is that they mean that he's... There is something happening in your mind. There's some idea in your mind. A very broad sense of idea. It can be like just a plain perception, like infinite space. It can mean a thought, but it can also mean like when you speak, say something. It's also like an idea, right? So it's a very broad kind of category here. So it's important. So all of those things are included in that.
The over voice thing.
The what?
The over voice thing.
Over voice.
What you are thinking. Or if you have it in the comic, you don't have like
the speech, which kind of means what's going on in your mind.
Yeah.
And the over voice is normally like in a movie,
when you hear the person speak, but he doesn't actually speak, it's just what is going on in your mind.
Right, yeah. I guess, yeah. There is no word for over voice in Pali. Yeah.
So T is okay.
Yeah. And then it says anything quoted, whether a line of verse or a single word, is also using the T to quote something here. Kayoti means the body in quotation marks. Kusalanti means the word good, or the concept good, or just the good, marked in the same way. And then it says here that indirect speech is exceedingly rare. So instead of saying, in English, indirect speech is very common. You say that, you know, he said so and so. In Pali, you never say he said so and so. What you said is that so and so, in quotes, he said. So if Buddha Rakita said that I'm an idiot, I would say I'm an idiot. Quotes said Buddha Rakita. You know, that's the kind of the way you would do it.
Go at the most. You know, it's not the last word. You put it in. I am
quote. Yeah, you always in quotes. It's like, you know, instead of actually saying that he said that the car is green, it's like the car is green, comma he said. So it's actually a direct quote. It's always just saying exactly what he said. Do you understand the difference?
Yeah.
So it's called, one is called indirect speech, and the one is called direct speech. Okay. But the thing is that it's the thing that you perceive in your mind, which is the T, right?
Well, that's what I was thinking, to the talk about Charmati.
You don't perceive the tea. What you perceive is like happiness, for example. You don't perceive jhana. What you perceive is happiness, or you perceive something like that. You don't have the idea of jhana in your mind. It's the happiness which is in your mind.
Yes.
But it's sukhang tea, perhaps. Okay. So that is what he's saying there. And then, when you have the verb tea, then the vowel in front of the T is usually lengthened, and the nasal N is changed to the dental N. And the reason again is because in the Pali, being originally a spoken language, particularly with the N there, because the T is a dental pronunciation, so the N changes also become a dental pronunciation. So these N's and N's are very fluctuating. Depending on the context, they will always change around to fit what is natural. A way of saying these things, rather than actually just having a standard spelling. Yeah. So, for example, here you have evang deva ti. Now, deva here, it might look to you like it means deva, nominative plural, kings, but in fact it isn't. It's actually deva, as in a short a, which means O king, and the a is lengthened because the t comes afterwards. So you don't know what the meaning is. It should be either one. But because it is spoken, it's quite natural that you're talking about, have a vocative there, you're speaking to somebody, you have a T here. So it's quite natural that there's a vocative. But it could theoretically be two different ways of interpreting that. It could either mean kings, such as just there are kings or whatever, or it can mean O king, where the short A is lengthened. So then there's evang means thus and so. So basically, and then you have to have the verb to be, because there's no verb to be there. Thus it is, O king. Theoretically, it could also mean thus there are kings, or something like that. Neso natti ti vadami. And there you have a double negative, and the first negative is negating the whole sentence. And the second negative is negates the verb nati. Basically, when you talk about negating the whole sentence, you're really talking about negating the verb, because that is what changes the sentence into a negative. So if you always start from the inside on this complex sentence, it's probably easier. So nati means there isn't, and eso agrees with that, so there isn't this. And then you have the natvadami on the outside, which is, I do not say there isn't this. I do not say this doesn't exist, has a word here. Natti, to exist, to be. Okay, the indeclinable sometimes appears in a fuller form, itti, which is maybe perhaps emphatic, but itti and ti have the same meaning, basically. It can also be used to mean thus, this, that. It may refer to a statement or a philosophical view or conception from a distance, instead of marking the end of the actual words. Don't know what he means by that, but that's what he says anyway.
Like itti piso? Is that itti piso?
Itti piso. In that case, it just means thus is the blessed one.
Well, isn't that what he's saying? Isn't that what that means?
It may refer to a statement or a philosophical view from a distance, instead of marking the end of actual quotation marks.
No.
Okay, for the statement. I'm not sure if it's maybe that's what it means, I don't know. I think it just means, like in the previous sentence just before, it says it can mean this, that, and thus. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know what it means. I don't think it's important anyway. The two forms may be used together for emphasis.
Like philosophically, you use that a lot you talk about the neither perception nor non-perception, you know, as an entity, as a conceptual group. So you're talking about something at a distance, you're not really quoting something. Like we use a lot in trademark or these catchphrases associated with companies, registered marks. So it could be colloquial or it could be a quote, but it's just a concept, so you step back from it, and T is referring to that kind of phenomenon.
Yeah, I just don't know what kind of context it would be used in. I'm just trying to think of a certain example of that. Because it's not clear to me what actually... Because, I mean, Yeah, but I mean, you know, what is the precise denotation that he's referring to here? I mean,
I can't think of any examples, but I'm just trying to interpret these sentences.
Yeah, but exactly. But I mean, you only really understand it once you see it actually in use, usually. Yeah.
We don't think it would be so bad it was a philosophical statement.
It would be so bad about.
Exactly what he's talking about.
It's not a conception. It's not if it's a.
May refer to a statement from a distance instead of marking the end of actual words.
Mm. I think it comes up more technically in commentary also.
It is a bit of yeah. But maybe he means that. I'm not sure what he means. Anyway, let's move on to the next congregation here. Sixth congregation. And again, as usual, I say, forget about the congregations. They are really quite irrelevant. And just focus on the fact you will see here that the endings are exactly the same as for all other verbs. So karoti, T ending, he does, he makes, he creates. Karonti, the NTI ending, they create, they make. You have the C ending for you, you have the THA ending for you plural, and you have the MI and MA, first person and the second person plural. No, first person and first person plural rather, yeah. And then you have the imperatives down there, just like as you would expect from the previous chapter, the previous section. It's karotu, karontu, karohi, etc. And then you have some other verbs on top of page 37, which are in the same way. And as Ekiwada said, none of these verbs are very important at all. Perhaps the most important one is via karoti, which means to explain, which often is found in the as a noun, via karana, explanation. Sakoti, you come across occasionally as well, means he can, he's able to. Yeah. So, an interesting idiom down here, if you look at the paragraph there, is sajayahan karoti. Sajayahan means to study, and karoti means to do, so literally he does study here. Sajayahan karoti. In other words, he just studies. And then you have a little bit of vocabulary down there. You have anusasati, which means to advise, to instruct, to teach. Abhikamati, to go. It's quite a rare word again. He advances, he goes forward. Eti, another fairly rare word, is to come. And this is exactly the same thing as eti, which means to go. Eti can mean either to come or go. So it's almost exactly the same.
So it's like the eti.
Yeah, which can mean either come or go, ehi, ehi bhikkhu, or ordaining, exactly.
Go forward,
It means come bhikkhu, basically. You know, come be my disciple is the implication, follow me.
Go forward,
no, I don't think so, yeah. Not usually, yeah. Kadati means to eat, and this is like from kadaniya, bodaniya, two types of food in Pali. Kadati is to eat, to bite, to choose, that's it. Pivati, to drink. Pahoti, again, is to be able to. He can. You have the nouns, okaso, okaso, okasa, vandami, bante, opportunity, time, possibility, okaso. Tupo is the word for stupa. Stupa is the Sanskrit word, when you have a stupa, and tupo, a tupa is the Pali equivalent of stupa. So that's what you would see in the suttas when you talk about stupas. You translate it as monument here, or pagoda. The pagoda is like a Chinese version of the stupa, really. Pariyayo, course. So a course in a very kind of broad sense. Pariyayo, what is it? I think just translate as course, you're normally okay. Vanno, it means color is the basic meaning of vanno, but because of that it also has to do with class, because the caste in particular in India were color based, so the darker you were the more likely you were to belong to a lower caste. And the Brahmins were supposed to be the light color, the bright ones, so that wasn't always the case, that was the idea anyway. And of course from that comes also the idea of beauty and praise, because the beauty is connected with the color of your skin. So if you are white, the whiter you are, more beautiful you're supposed to be, and that is also praise. You know, your praise, being white is praiseworthy, being dark is blameworthy. So it all connects together. Yeah. So that is vanno, which cars is really a better translation than class, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Sanko, conch. Okay, there you are. Trumpet. Sajayo, learning. Indeclinable. Bhavan. This is very close to the what we saw before. The Bhavan as a polite pronoun, but it also means like good fortune, best wishes. Bhavan hotu. That would be good fortune.
But that's different from Bhagavan.
Yeah, it's a completely different word. Yeah, Bhavan. Yeah, it's completely. Yeah. So.